I'm excited to preach God's word to you here today. You know, many look to the new year as an opportunity to make a change, to turn the tide in life. You know, instead of stumbling in the current, we want to surf the waves of success. And maybe if we make some changes, you know, in this new year, 2018, that's what will happen. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with making some New Year's resolutions. I think it's good and right for us to take stock of our lives, from time to time do some self-evaluation, and then make some changes. I mean, we believe in that. That's repentance. We believe in repentance around here. Repentance leads to life. But what does strike me as odd sometimes is when followers of Jesus forget or seem to forget that God has given us a recipe, if you will, on what a blessed life looks like. We tend to invent these formulas for life or adopt, you know, the world's strategies and values as if God has not laid out for us his way of living that leads to life. And so what I want to do is I want to draw your attention primarily from the book of Proverbs these next 4 weeks to get at God's way towards a full life. Now get this, and I hope this rings true for you, and I'm going to say this in a variety of ways here in the next few minutes with increasingly provocative ways, okay? So see if this rings true. Friends, we will find a full and blessed life by seeking and implementing the wisdom of God. Okay, let me say that again. We will find a full and blessed life when we seek and then apply God's wisdom in faith. Or maybe saying it another way, God's primary plan for you, First Baptist, God's primary plan for you to help you, to encourage you, to resource you so that you live that full, blessed life is to give you wisdom to live by. Okay, God does not hand success on a silver platter. He doesn't do that. He hands wisdom on a silver platter to be believed in faith that leads to a full and blessed life. And so we so oftentimes get that backwards. We're so tempted to think that by becoming a Christian, like that automatically is going to make life easy and blessed. It doesn't work that way. In fact, Jesus promises us more challenges, more difficulties when we become followers of him. But what he does then, though, is he grants us wisdom to live by that helps us navigate the troubled waters with joy and purpose in life. That's what he does. One of the main reasons, my good brothers and sisters, we struggle in life is because we neglect the wisdom of God. And I hope this doesn't sound too insensitive to you, but the first question, friends, the very first question you should ask when life is not working out the way you hoped it would, when your relationships are in shambles, when you're lacking the finances that you need, when you're filled with rage instead of peace all the time, when you feel that you keep on getting the short end of the stick at work or in the neighborhood, the first question you should ask yourself is this: am I living foolishly? Am I living foolishly? Am I making reckless, foolish decisions that are leading to these kinds of experiences in life? You know, what mistakes am I making that are contributing to the challenges that I'm going through right now? So those questions are not usually the ones we first ask when things aren't going well. You know what the first questions we usually ask? Like, why is this happening to me? Why do I always find bad luck? How come everybody else is always so on? How come this always is happening to me? We live as if, so oftentimes, friends, we live as if we are passive victims who deserve better, when in reality, we are active participants who largely pick the path that we live based on what we believe is good and true. Now, do you see the difference of those two ways of living? We typically think our problems find us, and I want to persuade you this morning to believe that we typically pick the problems that we have. We pick them by the choices that we make. Now, I'm nervous sharing that with you a little bit because it might feel like a punch in the gut a little bit. You know, maybe you're struggling here this morning and you hear that and you're not encouraged. You're actually discouraged, right? Listen, I know sometimes our challenges find us. I understand that. We didn't ask for some of our challenges. And so please hear me. Not every problem or obstacle or hardship that we have is the result of foolish decisions that we make. You know, sometimes our struggles find us. And they're not punishments from God. Like, God's not looking to punish you. Remember the gospel. Jesus died on that cross to bear the punishment for our sins on our behalf so that we would never have to be punished by God. That's a glorious thing. We should celebrate that. Don't forget that. And so, yes, sometimes hardships, challenges, trials find us by the good and sovereign purposes of God. We experience them as unwelcome and unwanted, but they come anyway. But I want to beg you to believe that oftentimes, friends, we make those unwanted and unwelcome trials and hardships more difficult than they need to be because we respond and react in foolish ways. And friends, we just have to get over this. We have to get over the thought and the offense that we are foolish at times, many times in our lives. That's why we have a Savior. That's why we're glad that God sent His Son that we just celebrated this past Christmas, that there is forgiveness for us when we make foolish choices and when we sin and when we go the wrong way. And praise God, He grants us repentance so that we can change. We can wise up. And we can start following God in His course of life. So please, friends, rather than being offended that you might be a participant in the struggles that you're having because of your foolish decisions, rejoice that there's forgiveness out there for you when you do make those mistakes and sins. And rejoice that God grants you repentance that leads to life and wisdom to walk by, that leads to blessing. So friends, be encouraged by that. Don't be discouraged. We will be stuck in cycles of foolishness our whole life if we cannot admit that we do act foolishly and then learn from those mistakes. I remember spending time with a person many years ago who was struggling in almost every kind of way imaginable. His important relationships were in jeopardy. His employer was about to let him go. Money was tight. His health was deteriorating. And maybe what was most difficult of all was the mental health struggles that he was having. You know, he was plagued with depression, anxiety was crippling him, despondency, and of course it translated and went into his spiritual life, feeling these mounting pressure of guilt before God. And what I asked him to do is I just asked him, hey, recount for me what's happened. What has happened this past year? What are the things that you've done? And as he started recounting his past year, it became so clear. Clear to me, not so clear to him. And so I said, as lovingly as I could, I said, do you not see how so much of what you're going through and so much of what you're feeling right now is the result of your own foolish decisions? Your own foolish decisions. And you really, the remedy is so simple. Simple, not easy. Simple and easy are different. Incredibly difficult because wholesale repentance is always a challenge. But simple. Start living wisely. Start living wisely by the truth of God's word, by faith. Because that's the way that leads to life. And the course you're walking continues to lead to death. And so I have four areas I want to highlight these next 4 weeks from the book of Proverbs that lead to blessing in life. Now, when I say blessing in life, this is what I have a Proverbs 22 verse 4 way of thinking, all right? And Proverbs 22 verse 4 says this, the reward or the fruit for humility and fear of the Lord, and that's what the book of Proverbs defines as wisdom. That's like the bedrock of wisdom, fearing God, living life humbly before God. The reward, the fruit of living wisely is riches and honor and life. And so wisdom leads to these things. Now, don't think of those things in a selfish, sanitized American dream kind of way. Think of them in a biblical way. Put your Bible caps on this morning and think, okay, biblically, the riches of God's grace in all of life, the honor that comes with walking in that way, imaging Jesus Christ to others, right? Life, full life in the Spirit of God that we long for. I hope you want that. I want that. I want Proverbs 22, verse 4 applied in my life. I want to experience the blessing of living wisely. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to study the book of Proverbs and what it says about speech, what it says about finances, purity, and anger. Okay? Those four topics are what we're going to study these next 4 weeks. And friends, when you and I are foolish with our speech, with our money, when we're foolish with our purity aspects, our sexual lives, when we are foolish with our anger, life will not go well for us. Like that, I hope that's obvious to some of you. As you think about that, if I'm foolish in these key areas of life, my speech, my money, my purity, my temper, if I'm foolish in those things, I'm going to struggle. I'm hoping that's obvious. I'm going to show you that as we go along. But on the contrary, when you're wise in those four areas, you will enjoy the blessing of God. Now, this next 4 weeks are going to be a little different for us in that, you know, typically I have like a passage of scripture that we work through. I'll maybe make references to different passages that maybe support the main point. This one's a little different because what I'm doing is I'm just kind of collecting the treasure trove of Proverbs, these little nuggets of wisdom that God has for us in his book. And they're kind of scattered throughout the book a little bit. So it's not like you can just kind of leave your Bible open to a certain chapter and we'll study it together. Instead, I would encourage you, leave your Bible open to a book, the book of Proverbs, and then we'll kind of flip back and forth a little bit. And here's what I've done over the years when I've read the book of Proverbs. When a little proverb, a little nugget of wisdom kind of really opens up my eyes, I just put a little star by that. Like, ooh, I need to remember that one. And so a lot of the passages I'm going to share with you over these next 4 weeks are little proverbs that I just put a star by over the last number of years. And I'd encourage you to do the same thing. You know, remember these proverbs that are really helpful and really meaningful to us. And so what does Proverbs say about speech? That's the first thing that we're going to study in this little four-week series. The first thing I want to show you is that Proverbs says the exact same thing that Jesus says about our speech. You might remember that Jesus, what Jesus said comes out of our mouth comes from our hearts. That there's this direct connection between what I really think and what I really believe, who I really am, and what I say. And so, yes, I can fake it for a while, but in time, my heart will be made known by the things that come out of my mouth. And Proverbs says the same things. So consider just these two verses. First, Proverbs 17:20. Proverbs 17:20 says, "A man of crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity." Likewise, in the previous chapter, chapter 16, verse 23, "The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips." What I want to draw your attention to is, do you see how both of these passages, there is a connection between one's heart and the words that come out of their mouths? In that chapter 17 passage, a crooked heart and a dishonest tongue are put in parallel together. What that means is you're supposed to understand them together. You're supposed to see them as connected. And so my crooked heart and dishonest tongue together bring calamity. They bring trouble. The same thing is true in chapter 16. A person with a wise heart has judicious speech. A person with a wise heart has judicious speech, meaning she has a heart that's wise and careful in what she says, persuading others. How might she do that? Well, she uses inviting words, encouraging words, words that build up, strengthen up, rather than tear down. but it's a revelation of one's heart. That's where it comes from. You know, friends, we're so tempted to blame others, just like our first parents did. And our culture is growing more fondly to this victimhood mentality. And friends, I want to encourage you to resist that. Resist that mentality. Your words come from your heart, so own them. You know what I mean? Like, take responsibility for the things that you say. When your words are mean-spirited, tell yourself, that's coming from a heart that's mean-spirited and critical. Or when you lie, say, I want something. My heart wants something that doesn't belong to me so much that I'm willing to lie to get it. And so plead to God for help. Plead to God for help to help you see the connection. And then when you see the connection is not what it ought to be, or when it reveals that the heart is and the soul is sick, ask God to apply the forgiving mercy of Jesus. Rejoice in that forgiveness. And then again, apply the truth to change and repent. Resist blaming others, my good friends, for the trouble our mouths cause. And our mouths do cause trouble, don't they? I mean, can you remember times when your mouth got you into trouble? Oh, man. That's the story of my life, First Baptist. You know? My whole life I've struggled with my words. Proverbs 12:18 says this, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Can't remember how many years ago it was. Several years ago now, Corby and I went back to a high school reunion of mine. And while I was there, I was reminded of some of the dumb things that I said when I was a teenager. I remembered some of them myself. You know, when I saw certain people, I wondered, like, oh, do they remember when I said that? And are they still hurt today the way I hurt them way back then? You know, I thought about those things. And then I had other friends come up and tell me things that I don't remember saying. You know? They're like, "Brian, do you remember when you said?" Or, "Do you remember telling me, Brian?" And I remember a good friend of mine, Mike Viss, he's a great buddy of mine. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're great high school friends, but then you never see each other again, but you still have this kind of connection. And so we saw each other again. We were talking. And he started telling me, "Brian, do you remember when you said?" And I was like, "Did I really say that? Like, no, tell me I didn't say that." And he's like, "Oh yeah, that's what you said." And I'm like, "Oh man," you know, and I'm like, "Why did I say such stupid things?" And really those things were like, those sayings that they were like sword thrusts in the hearts and souls of people, wounding them. I didn't mean to do some of them. I remember saying to this, just be a little self-revelatory here this morning, right? I remember saying to a girl, I think it was like in junior high, right? Anything that comes out of a junior high kid's mouth is like stupid, right? I remember saying to this little girl, you know, or this classmate of mine, and she just had these little tiny feet, you know, she just had these little feet. And I said, "Boy, you just have little, you know, you have such little feet. How, you know, how do those little feet keep your body from falling over, you know?" Years later, she told me, and this, we were still in high school, years later she told me how hurtful that was. I didn't know. I was just being a junior high kid, you know? I didn't know, but those were hurtful words to her. Rash words. Proverbs 12 calls them rash words. Words that just come out of your mouth with little thought or consideration. We don't mean to be inconsiderate with those rash words, but they are inconsiderate. That's why I love Proverbs 10:19. If there's a key verse, Proverbs 10:19 is the key verse for this morning. When words are many, transgression, sin is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. That is a treasure of a verse. A treasure of a verse. Here's what you can count on, First Baptist. The more you talk, the more likely you're going to sin. There is a one-to-one correlation between you sinning and you talking. Right? As our lips keep flapping, we're more likely to sin. It's just going to happen. And we are responsible for every word that comes out of our mouth. Matthew 12, Jesus said, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." careless words. We will answer for them. We will answer them. So, friends, some of us, I'm in this group, some of us, we just need to stop talking so much. You know what I mean? We just have to stop talking. Like, button the lip more. And I know this is for everyone. I know this should be universally applied. But there's some of us that this is particularly helpful to hear. Those of us who use words to fill empty space. Those of us who use words to try to get ourselves out of trouble. Those of us who use words to try to smooth things over, right? Have you ever tried to use words to smooth things over and things just get a little bumpier as you keep talking? That happens to me. Those of us who think that we know so much and we just can't help but tell more people what we think we know. I just want to encourage you, memorize Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression, sin is not lacking. Whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Learn to restrain your lips. Learn it. Learn to put a stop on your mouth. Learn to be a listener. Right? Learn how to ask good questions so other people talk and they sin and not you, right? I mean, that's what you want. Better they sin than you. Really. Now, can I qualify this just for a second here? Some of you need to talk more and not less. Some of you are not tempted to talk your way out of trouble. You're not tempted to use a lot of words to draw all kinds of prideful attention to yourself. Instead, you are tempted to never share what you're really thinking and feeling because you are afraid to be vulnerable. And you know that if you share what's really going on in the inside of your heart, that's exactly what will happen. You will be left exposed, and you won't dare do that. And I'm here to tell you, you need to dare to do that. You need to dare to do that. You have locked yourself in a prison out of fear. And you are right about one thing. You know what you're right about? This world's a dangerous place. You are right about that. But here's where you're wrong. You cannot protect yourself from the danger around you. But God can. God can protect you. And God has promised to take care of you. And so I want to encourage you to start putting words to your feelings, to your thoughts. There are trusted people out there that you can talk to that will point you to God's provision and to Him. And you have to start sharing that, what's going on in here, with your words to others. I know that's really hard for some of you, and I know there's people out there like this. I have spent many times talking with people, begging them to say what they're thinking, because it's so important to see and know what's going on in the inside and be honest about that. And so I wanted to share that briefly with you. So those of you who are not tempted to use your many words, you're tempted to keep your mouth closed. I don't want you to use this as a reason to think that you should stay closed up on the inside. I don't want that. So another way our words get us into trouble is through lying, through deceit. The book of Proverbs repeatedly cautions us about lying. So let me share with you some examples, four verses from Proverbs 12:19. And so I'm going to try to go slowly, just if you wanted to flip or if you just maybe write down the references, you can. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 20:17. Okay? So again, I'm not sure what you want to do, if you want to flip or if you just want to write these down, if you're trying to take notes. Proverbs 20:17 says, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. One more, Proverbs 6, verse 12, and then also verse 15. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. Crooked speech. Look at those words. Therefore, calamity, trouble, will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he'll be broken beyond healing. So we've all been there, right? This is a universal struggle. We all want that thing, that praise, that attention. And it doesn't look like we're going to get it. So what are we tempted to do? We're tempted to lie to get it. Oh, you know, you did a really nice job doing this, and you really didn't. You're like, oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I really worked hard. You know, and you want that praise. Or maybe it's something you're afraid of getting. You know, you're afraid of receiving something. Fear and desire, always think about how fear and desire go together. You know, you went to that website that you know you shouldn't have went to. And now you're going to get that disapproving look. You're going to get that corrective word. You might get that discipline. And so, I didn't go there. No, it wasn't me. Wasn't me. Friends, we're tempted to lie. And when we lie with our mouth, we're going to find trouble. That's living a life of foolishness, not a wise life. Now, one of the things I love about the book of Proverbs is that embedded in the wisdom are incentives. Okay, look for this, especially in the Proverbs, but really in all of Scripture. Don't only look at the truth, but look at the incentive to follow the truth. All right? And so there's all kinds of incentive just in those four verses that I highlighted for you, and I want to show you them again. So let's look at those verses one more time. Proverbs 12:19. It said, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. We lie because we're hoping to get out of trouble. And we might get out of trouble, but just for a moment. Just for a moment. It won't provide the help that we really want and need. Down the road, we are storing up more trouble through our lives. Don't sacrifice forever, First Baptist. Don't sacrifice eternity for that moment. Instead, live truthfully, because that's what endures. Proverbs 26:28. It said, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. All right? So get what this passage is saying. All right? We all have an excuse now to not answer that, how does this shirt look on me question. All right? Right here, don't flatter with your mouth. Notice why. It's expressing hatred towards others. When we use flattering words towards people, we're looking to please them. But lying to them doesn't, it might please them for a moment, but it hurts them in the end. So tell yourself, every time I lie, I'm working ruin in my life. I'm working ruin in other people's lives. Like, you don't want that, do you? That's what we do when we lie. So when we lie, we work ruin in the lives of other people and in our own life. And so use that to motivate you to tell the truth. Proverbs 20:17. Let's go to that one. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. It's a great word picture, isn't it? You know? That's why we lie. We want something and we think it's sweet. We think it's rewarding, but it won't taste sweet. It will be like having a mouthful of gravel. And so think of gagging and choking on a mouthful of sand and rock. Lying will not get you what you want and what you need. And finally, Proverbs 6:12, and then verse 15. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. So look what happens to us when we have crooked speech. Disaster will come upon us, and it's a kind of disaster, you know, that can't be fixed. Let's think about that for a minute. We preach and teach a gospel of forgiveness here. Like, we teach and preach a gospel of second chances, and we rejoice in that. But friends, that does not mean that there are not enduring scars from our sin. And betrayal, lies are one of those things that certainly can be forgiven, but it also erodes the trust that we have with one another. And so while a relationship can be mended, a relationship can be restored, chances are that kind of relationship is going to look differently than it did before. The trust that's damaged through the lies is not easily built up again. And so, yes, there is forgiveness, but there is also enduring damage, friends, from our lives. So God is telling these things to us on purpose, right? And what's the purpose? To encourage us to live truthfully, to tell the truth, to use our words in such a way that highlight what's real and true, not what's false, not for selfish gain. And he wants to spare us the damage. God loves us. He wants to spare us the damage that our lies will do and encourage us to tell the truth. And so here's what I'm hoping, friends. I'm hoping that hearing God's wisdom this morning about our speech is an invitation to you. It's an invitation towards repentance. Repentance leads to life. And so will you join me in prayerfully asking God to help us with our tongue? Like, will you pray to God to help you believe the warnings that he has shared with you today? Like, we need to believe that. That's why he tells us the warnings. God warns us about the consequences of our sin so that we might believe him and we might turn to him and away from our sin. And then also, he tells us the rewards for living truthfully, being careful with our mouth, because he wants us to follow that path of wisdom. And so let's do that, friends. Let's begin this 4-week journey on living wisely by applying it to our mouth first, and then let's apply it to the other aspects of our life too.